Now, folks, I have to tell you about Donate for Destiny. Dicey Cantina is proud to join the Donate for Destiny team supporting Child's Play charity. Child's Play provides toys and video game consoles to hospitals and domestic violence shelters in order to make a children's stay a little bit more comfortable. For every $4 you donate, we will add a light side Destiny token to our Destiny pool for our players. If you donate $10 or more, you get to decide whether the Destiny pool is all dark side or all light side. With every donation, we will read your custom message during the start of the next available recording with our crew. Want to send a message to your friend? Introduce an advertisement of your own podcast? This is your chance. Donate for Destiny is the brainchild of Mark from Coruscant Knights fame, but every good deed deserves a little friendly competition, so be sure to visit our donation page in the show notes for more details. And for this series, we have two special guest stars. Joe from the New Republic Radio and Mark from Coruscant Knights will be joining us for Caper to Capo. These guys were a blast to play with, and y'all are in for a treat. If you haven't yet, you need to check out their shows. And with all that out of the way, our story begins as always, on a planet far, far away, a long time ago. All right, I'll kick things off here. So when we last left you guys, you had just made it through the security gate onto the grounds proper at Ray Puri's mansion, where you're holding the auctions. You guys kind of see before you the grand entrance of this mansion. I was going to look up architecture terms to help out, but I didn't have time. So whatever Lo says is probably true.
Flying buttress. He's really into the flying buttresses, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Are they like more like flying Minox for Star Wars or?
Yeah. I'll think of something. I like it. Yeah. I like where you're going though.
You guys see kind of scattered around pairs of security that are still wearing that kind of drab gray Imperial uniform and the Death Star, you know, full enclosed bucket heads walking around. As you come into the main foyer, you can see there's a grand staircase in front of you that kind of splits off, and a kind of balcony rail works its way around the large ballroom so that there's just a kind of walkway up above, and the party's going on in the ballroom underneath. There's a large crowd, and interestingly enough, you know, most auctions you have to pay attention to the bidding and you know, all the focus is on the items, but here in true Imperial like pomp, everyone's milling around in their evening wear and cocktails and talking and things like that, and paying very little attention ultimately to it. You get the sense that this event is way more about, you know, political elbow rubbing than it is actually about the money for most people. And so there's lots of different kind of conversations going on. And then kind of tucked under the stairwell is a kind of one of those party bars, and Brack stands behind that, kind of always cleaning a glass, and he's got a little smile to him there, and he nods as you guys come in. The staircase itself has two security guards posted at the bottom of it and two posted at the top, and so clearly the guests are only supposed to come into the ballroom and not go up to the top stairs. And with that, you can head over and talk to Brack, or I can describe things more out of character.
I think Lo is probably going to waltz around the room a little bit, sort of take in the ambiance. I think he mutters before he walks away, "It's a damn shame their grays are conflicting with this neo Findarian architecture. The decor is just so dulled by this gray." And he walks into the crowd and just sort of starts looking around at the layout, trying to just get a better idea of where things are happening and where people are.
Veer is going to start scoping out security, looking for, you know, cameras, guard rotations, areas that seem to be off limits, kind of things like that. Just, you know, walking around casual, but definitely casing the area.
Sindra is interested in the people who are here. People are what she's good at, so she's checking out who's in the room.
So it sounds like everybody needs to roll something. I guess this is a game after all. But I think you guys all kind of described something that you would roll a perception on for the room, and we can build it out that way.
Oh, I suppose. What's the difficulty? You know, playing a game.
We do that sometimes. I think everybody's going to roll a perception, and we're going to make the architecture isn't really hidden, so it's probably an easy check.
Okay.
To kind of make out what the room looks like, the layout, and for Low.
Well, I think specifically too, he's looking for like secure areas, like if there's a vault where your items are kept and that sort of stuff too. Just making sure that wouldn't change anything.
I bet he would also be looking for load-bearing walls.
Oh, of course. That's where we're setting the charges, baby.
The charges you left in the briefcase in the hedge, right?
We'll get there. Plans always come full circle.
They do. They do. So that would, if you want to increase it for security, which I think Veer's going to roll too, you're going to move to hard for that because the security is going to be hidden. So you got to work to reveal that.
I'm going to argue or suggest that Veer would be using skullduggery because this is less of kind of a raw perception and more of his profession. He's used to checking out security schemes, looking for vulnerabilities.
So granted. And then for Syndra, with the people, the more difficult you make it, the more I will reveal.
Great.
So if you want to do an easy roll, I'll give you some easy information. If you want to do a hard roll, I'll give you some hard information.
Hmm.
And I'm not just making that up on the spot because I didn't name all these NPCs of the people who are in here.
Since my career is a smuggler, I feel like I should take a chance. I'm going to make it a hard check.
Okay.
All right. I took a chance and I got an advantage.
One advantage?
One advantage.
I did about as poorly as I could have possibly done. Two failures, two threats.
On par with last time.
those grays are really clashing. It's really distracting.
It's really bothering me. Yeah,
see,
it's
on
really
the contrary. I think it's a nice mixture of modern and classical.
If you want to call boring modern.
Well, fortunately, I came up with two success. So nice. we might get a little information about security.
With my advantage, maybe I see a friendly face that I don't recognize, but it looks like a friendly face.
I mean, UGM, I will let you. The story is to your advantage how you wish.
You sure about that?
I like how this is going. Yeah. Okay. Play fast and loose here.
Okay.
It's totally okay. So friendly face that you didn't recognize, but looks friendly.
Yeah.
I think
someone I'd be able to talk to easily.
I think Lowe's two threats are going to be that he has mistakenly identified a place that he thinks is where like the valuable items, like the vault where the valuable items are kept, but it's very actually like the coat check or some sort of broom closet or something, or like the kitchen.
Yeah.
I don't know where it would be, but it's something completely not that, but he's like, this would be the only place. In his mind, he's musing, this is the only place that makes sense to have put the vault for the items. It's away from any exterior walls. It has lots of eyes on it.
Yeah. So what you see is, so there's kind of like a buffet table that's on one side, right? And there's, you know, clearly servers that make their way around with drinks and things like that. And you see on the first floor, kind of in the back, under the balcony, you know, you see a couple servers come out a door from back there, which clearly looks like it's where all the behind the scenes things are happening.
So yeah, if it's behind the scenes, it's got to be where they keep the good stuff.
Exactly. Yep.
Great.
That's the rule, right? You keep the hors d'oeuvres and the auction items in the same room.
Mini pizzas and, you know, pages of the Journal of the Wills go hand in hand.
I don't have enough experience to disagree.
And then, okay, remind me, Veer's security check was two success, is that right?
Two success.
So Veer, as you've come in, what you've seen in your experience, what you know is what you don't see is just as important as what you do see, right? And what you noticed looking around was, I mentioned those guards at the base of the stairs and the top of the stairs. You see a kind of a lack of security on the first floor. There's a few wings that lead off into presumably like the bedrooms for the mansions or, you know, things like that, on either side of the ballroom. You see servers coming out of the back. That's clearly the kitchen, not where the stuff is kept. There's no security to get in and out of that space or other spaces on the first floor. But you see some kind of heavy security blocking visible pathways to the second floor. You definitely get that sense that the things of importance are on the second floor of the building. Your direct approach is definitely covered, but for your second success, you kind of knowing the layout of buildings from Druckenwell, they're can obviously be more than one staircase up, more than one way in to the second floor that you may have to find if you wanted to go up that way.
What about access to the exterior of the building? Obviously it's taking place in a ballroom, but you know, are people walking out onto a lawn, or is it all contained inside?
So there's nothing preventing you from going outside. You did recall you clocked two more security guards specifically at the main entrance, and a couple on patrol outside. But they didn't hamper any guests. They didn't really interact. They're there for visible security purposes, and so you can definitely wander out into the grounds, the garden, as you would. At the same time, there was nothing of the event going on out there, so you'd be kind of exposed. Everybody, of course, has the, you know, the FBI style comm that works so that everyone can talk to each other without giving away that they're talking. You hear from Brack. Great, guys. I'm glad you got in here. It's been just getting ramped up. You haven't missed any of the action yet. Haven't seen any of the auction start yet. All the partygoers are just having drinks, and everything seems to indicate that the balcony above you that juts out into the ballroom will be where the auction goes down. But I haven't seen Puri or Governor Kotovu yet, and so keep your eyes out.
Well, that makes sense that it would be up on the balcony, since that's just above where I've identified all of the artifacts are being kept.
And it makes sense that we have not seen those two yet, because I have not seen them either.
Who is this Ray Puri anyway? I know he's the owner of this mansion and our sworn enemy for this mission.
He's an SGI official, if I'm correct.
Right, but what is he? What does he do? Is he an imposing figure, or
he has a bit of a reputation of being a bit of a ruthless businessman.
Yeah.
You know, SGI was rather aggressive with their acquisition of the ruling council, and from there instilling the empire into our lives. You would recognize him. He kind of stands relatively tall and broad shouldered, always wearing a nice tailored suit. To him, clearly, appearance is of the utmost importance.
Of course, a ruthless businessman would allow imperial greys in this lovely decorative mansion. Shame.
And then kind of like on cue, a door off the back of the second floor opens up. Two men, one tall, broad-shouldered, wearing a nice tailored suit, and another rather spindly, kind of funny looking a little bit, really, wander out. And the spindly one kind of stands back as Puri walks out onto the balcony.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for attending tonight's auction. We're so thankful to have Governor Kotovu here to speak to us this evening. This evening's event couldn't have been possible without him. Much of the artwork on tonight's auction block are Druckenwell originals, and just there's nowhere else in the world where we could have access to such things without Kotovu's help. I'm not one for grandiose speeches, and so without further ado, Governor Kotovu. And so he steps aside, and Kotovu comes up.
While this is happening, Lo has grabbed a yob shrimp cocktail. They poured it in Naboo fish delicacies, actually, which is kind of one of his favorites.
Hello and good evening, everyone. Thank you for attending tonight's auction. You know, we have so much to be thankful for from the Empire, and I'm here tonight so thankful to just be the liaison helping bring Druckenwell into the fold. As you know, it's not an easy task bringing order to the galaxy, and as a result, you know, many people like ourselves are indebted to the Empire and the Emperor's great vision for our galaxy. I think it was the late Grand Moff who said it best, that the bold vision of our great Emperor's future requires not only the service of those of us with immaculate reputation and consummate skill in the just exercise of power, but also the service of the vast military dedicated to upholding the laws necessary to ensure galactic harmony. These actions are taken merely to protect us from those who would invade, enslave, exploit, or foment political dissent, and to punish accordingly any who would engage in such acts, and bring swift justice to those who would murder those like the late Grand Moff. Look on our new opportunity here tonight to help shore up the Empire's vision of a pacified and prosperous galaxy with your wallets. Look deep
and enjoy. And with that, he kind of bows, Katfu bows and ducks back into the door along with Puri. And out comes one of the items up for auction is what you see. So a kind of bust, nothing that you were particularly looking for goes up and the auction begins. Everyone mills about. It's not that everyone's focused on bidding right away, but there's a lot of pomp and show to it, you know. You hear 10,000 credits to start, and someone else pipes up, huh, but a measly thing, 100,000 credits. And so you get this sense that everyone's going to kind of politically joust with one another. And Brat kind of comes back over your comm. And so I clearly upstairs behind the door is where the ledger is going to be kept. I'll keep overwatch out here, but you guys will have to find a way up that way.
I hate to correct you, Brack, but clearly they keep it back there where there are more people coming and going so that there would be more eyes on the item. Behind the buffet table where I'm currently stationed, he's on his second Yap Shrimp cocktail. Dreadful speech. Wonderful episode.
Lo, I can bring the cocktails home. Can we focus on the mission at hand, please?
He sets it down, wipes his mouth with a handkerchief. Okay, door upstairs, got it.
Yeah, we're going to need eyes in that room to form our next part of the plan.
What does the security look like around? I mean, is the door directly behind the auction stage? Is that the one?
Yeah, so kind of... I mean, since you're in somebody's home, you get the sense that a lot of the doors kind of lead to corridors, to bedrooms and things like that. And so the balcony is center on the far wall. So it's kind of a rectangular shape, almost like a basketball court. And so on one end is the upstairs balcony that overlooks the ballroom. And on that behind that balcony, kind of off to the side, is a door that one would assume leads to one of the larger bedrooms or studies or library. For the building. I mean, I don't know that Lo assumes that, but someone who succeeded in their role might assume that.
I feel personally attacked now. Well, because I was curious, because if we know, well, if I guess specifically, if I know that that's back there, if Lo knows that that's there, he might be a little more keyed into what to look for and back ways into that room.
As a matter of fact, I think Veer is going to mention that we likely need to get upstairs, but the main stairway is a no-go. If Lo is familiar with architecture, maybe he can point us in the best direction for a back staircase or a servant entrance to the upstairs, that kind of thing.
Now, Brack said we needed eyes in that room. I do believe I can get eyes in that room. I do have my remote, Kid. If we can find a ventilation shaft, perhaps in a bathroom or something, we might be able to get him up there.
That's a fantastic idea. I'm going to... let me get a little bit closer. So... Lo is going to sort of meander up the stairs towards that area, and he, not getting too close to draw anyone's attention, but within, if possible, if this is possible, within about short range of that door and sort of that area, to, he's got,
sorry to interrupt. Did you say you were going up the stairs?
Is there any way to get, I guess there is, there are guards up there, isn't there?
Well, so there's guards at the base of the stairs and then guards on the... So the stairwell halfway up splits and goes left and right. Okay. And so there's a guard at the top of each of the split sections, but there's two guards at the base of the stairs. So as you kind of meander that way, that you definitely see those bucket heads kind of turn and kind of look at you, wondering what you're up to.
Is there... So, okay. So are people upstairs bidding, or is it on the ground floor that they're bidding?
Oh, everybody is on the ground floor.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it's like a big dinner party going on. Everybody's milling about in the ballroom. And so everyone can look up and see the items up for bid, but nobody else is up there other than the auctioneer.
Got it. Okay. So then what Lo is probably doing is more so meandering to a place underneath that balcony and just looking straight up. He's not going to go up the stairs. He's just going to try to get as essentially as close to that door without getting in anyone's way as possible. Because in his glasses, and he starts fingering these tiny little switches on his glasses, he has embedded in them an SE90 structural engineering scanner, which requires an average computer's check to see through walls or bulkheads up to short range.
Okay.
So if that's possible to get within short range, that would be dope. But
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You can be directly underneath it. Essentially, the door you clocked earlier that the servants are coming out, you're kind of standing behind that. And then the balcony has a walkway that goes around the whole of the second floor.
Okay.
And so you're kind of underneath that walkway against the wall.
Great.
Where that is. So yeah, you can totally
just nudge up against the wall. Yeah, I just sort of excuse myself while brushing past the servers and grab another Yob Shrimp cocktail while I stare up at the wall and just, these are really good. I just need to be a little bit closer to the kitchen quickly. Hold on a second. So this is going to be an average computer's check. We are talking one success, one advantage. I don't think it's nearly as bright and visible, but there's sort of like this little blue line that sort of poofs out of his glasses and sort of scans up and scans back down, and he can see essentially x-ray vision through those walls of, you know, until he moves.
From looking straight up, kind of what you get the layout from is, I would assume your back is to the wall where the kitchen's at. So yep. You would essentially, if the mansion's oriented north-south, you're kind of facing south, but the room is behind you to the north. And so you're kind of looking up over your head that way. To your right of the door, you see that there isn't much more than a floor. So that you can tell that architecturally, there's kind of a bigger open room that way. You don't see, other than the immediate door that you're directly under, you get the sense that the room behind it is very large. You can tell that the wall that kind of curves at the 90 degrees the corner off the ballroom to your right has a much smaller door. Okay. That's there on the south wall from that. So that's kind of not too far from you guys. That would be above one of the bedrooms that's kind of off to the side there. To your left is kind of just a big kind of hazy open walkway that way. And so you get the sense again that the room is very open. And then I think, you know, for an advantage, you can see the footsteps, you know, of people coming. They're coming from your right, from that archway toward kind of where that door was as well. When
that's,
they come out,
door.
Bring a new option to the let's call it the bedroom door.
Okay. Yep. Cool.
And advantage wise, you can see that the things are kind of coming from that general area, but also that kind of smaller bedroom door. It doesn't look like it's, it looks kind of recessed into the architecture.
Okay. All right. So yeah, low relays a lot of that and just says, essentially wraps up with, there's a lot of space up in these rooms. It seems like we'll be dealing with a lot of open environments. I'm not sure that I can really see much in the way of ducts or air vents, but you know, there could be something as we get a little bit further in. Would I be able to make any sort of judgment on how old this mansion is and like whether or not they have more modern like air vent type of things? Oh, I got an even better idea than just ducts. Can I flip a light side point and say that in the kitchen, there's one of those dumb waiters that they can send food straight up into the bedroom?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So he relays all that info and he says, but I hardly think we need to deal with air ventilation shafts when there's clearly a dumbwaiter right here in the kitchen. And then a young human kid goes, hey, I do this for a living. It's not fancy work, but it's an honest job. I wasn't talking to you, kid.
Do you take the shrimp cocktail that's on his plate?
100% I do. I grab one and I just stare at him while I slurp it down.
He slinks into the crowd, clearly rethinking his life choices to serve the Druckenwell elite.
Now, I have potentially a very stupid idea of how we can get upstairs.
I love stupid ideas.
Have you seen a bathroom down here?
There's got to be a fresher around. There's too many people to just go wherever.
My idea is that we clog the toilet in that refresher, and then one of us pretends to really have to go. And if there are no other refreshers on the floor, we have to go upstairs.
I don't like where this is going for my sake.
Because it's a simple act of deception.
I know. I'm pretty sure, Syndra, that I know what you're suggesting. Don't use my people's biology against me.
It's just, it's so thick.
He grimaces, looks at his Yob Shrimp cocktail, and sees that kid coming back and just slams it back down on his tray and startles the kid.
It falls kind of like almost forward, and he stumbles into the kitchen while trying to catch the tray.
What do you think, Veers? What does the other security layout look like? I mean, you said we can't go up the main staircase, but does your thieves' eye have any insights on either of these two plans, or perhaps a third, better one?
I think if we could find a back staircase, or perhaps isolate a single guard, we could either go up a less protected staircase, or perhaps waylay the guard, slip into his clothes, and gain entry that way.
It's fine. You can just simply say you don't like our plans.
I asked for his input, Syndra. This is how we formulate a plan. Is there a possibility we can pull off two or even all three of these simultaneously?
Very possibly.
I don't see why not.
For instance, Syndra, clog the toilet. I could simply put a frag grenade down the toilet.
That may do a little more damage than we want.
Fine, I have foam cast cans as well. I could do that.
That's perfect.
Oh, you're no fun.
The explosives for the exit strategy.
The explosives that are still at the gate?
Yeah, we'll have to get those at some point, I guess.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, Lo looks straight up at God and just goes,
I thought that was Brack. I mean, that's my save. Brack comes on over the comm. Didn't you leave the explosives at the gate?
Is the bar right next to the buffet, or are they on opposite sides?
Opposite sides, okay. I would say.
He just stares daggers across this whole bar. You see people, like the shot is passing between like them, and you just see Lo staring at him. He said,
the plan comes around in the end. It will always come around.
We're totally not going to use those explosives.
Now I almost don't want to on principle.
On principle. That's all for this week, and I want to say a special thank you to Mark and Joe for joining us. Be sure and check out their shows for more lovable antics. I know I will. If you're enjoying the show and want to help us grow, tell us about it on Twitter, at Dicey Cantina, or drop us a line at diceycantina@gmail.com, or send us a voice message over at anchor.fm/dicey-cantina. We may even play those on air. Of course, subscribe and rate us on your favorite podcatcher and YouTube. And don't forget about Donate for Destiny. Muck about with our Destiny pool and help children in difficult medical and familial situations have a little bit easier time through Child's Play. The Donate for Destiny team can't reach our $500 goal without your help. So please give if you can. Links all are in the show notes, and we'll see you next week in the Dicey Cantina. Together.